It's the Who's On First Baseball Show with the coach, Carl DeMasi, and the baseball fanatic, Kyle Lawson.
The fellow's name on first base.
Who?
The guy on first base.
Who is on first?
Talking all things baseball on the Coach's Corner Sports Network.
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
I don't know. Third base.
And here we are, the coach and the baseball fanatic. And welcome back, sports fans, to the Who's On First Base Baseball Podcast with the coach, Carl DeMasi, of course, the baseball fanatic, Kyle Lawson, because it's all part of the Coach's Corner Sports Network. Yeah, a little hiatus, with jobs and things going on. We've missed 3 weeks. Well, we're back. I know it's almost a month. I think the last time we did it was right before the trade deadline. So we're back in the saddle again. And once again, it's all part of the Coach's Corner Sports Network. You know, there are three live shows every Wednesday night. The Atlanta man, Brandon Bain, doing his rubbing and grubbing with the OG, the producer, Lawrence Bennett, every Wednesday night from 6 to 7. Then yours truly on Saturdays, 9 to about 10:30 with the Carl DeMasi Sports Report. And then once a year, we have the Herb Brothers doing the 19th hole. All things Masters, first week of April, they do a great job. Go to YouTube, look up the 19th hole. Believe me, you'll have a lot of fun. And there's one podcast, the only podcast on the Coach's Corner Sports Network. We're going to try and make an effort to be here every week. We're not going to stumble over the bases or get thrown out or, you know, make the last out at home plate. You know what I mean? But once again, we're back. It's the coach and the baseball fanatic right here on the Coach's Corner Sports Network. And stepping up to the plate, and of course, the coach's hot seat, the man himself, the man with the plethora of baseball knowledge, baseball stats, you name it, in that cranial vault, we got to go with the Cubby fanatic, Kyle Lawson. What's up, Cub man?
Hey, Coach. Good to see you. It's been too long. I know the first week we were off, it's because I was up celebrating my mom's birthday in Chicago. And yes, I did take my mom to Wrigley and watch this beat up on the Cardinals. A lot of fun. And now we're back at it. It's been too long. Trade deadline. A lot of moving pieces. We're in the backstretch, and I can't wait to talk about it.
All right, and as usual, we play four innings here. The first inning, we go around the horn. We go into all the divisions, and this week's, motif will be the trade deadline, who won, who lost. Then in the second inning, we always got to go Braves chop, talk about the Braves. Just think about this, buddy. I want you to think about who are maybe four guys that the Braves might not be having when they get to the playoffs, not because of injury either. Give it some thought, okay? All right, so he's thinking about
it. I will.
Inning number
three. No, I was thinking. You got me. Go ahead.
Inning number three.
Jeez.
Okay, inning number three. We're, of course, going to talk about the local kids that are trying to make it to the MLB. We got one guy in the minor leagues. We got one guy playing over in Japan. Okay, and then, of course, you got to talk about Savannah Bananas. 72 games in that world tour. They're doing the Northeast trip. They came back from the West Coast. Now they're in the Northeast. They're going to get a little close there to Chicago. How far is Des Moines from Chicago?
Well, Des Moines, that's you're looking at a little bit over 3 hours ride out there. Des Moines actually a neat little city. It's the AAA home, Principal Park, where they will be playing, AAA home of the Chicago Cubs.
Okay, and who's the team that is the the tenant of that little stadium?
Oh, like I said, the Iowa Cubs.
There you go.
The iCubs, yes, since 1981.
So, we'll check that out. I know he's all excited about that. Then they come back, and then they go back to New York again. They're going to end this whole thing in September, Cooperstown. And, of course, the fourth inning, trivia. This is the closest I've ever been to this baseball fanatic. He's got four wins. I got three wins. Eighth show of the year. Maybe I can tie it tonight. But let's kick it off. Let's up to the plate. And it's batter up, inning number one, around the horn. And, of course, like we always do, we start out in the AL East in the junior circuit. And I don't know what to tell you, buddy, but the O's, the Baltimore Orioles, are surprising a lot of people. We had a lot of surprise teams early on, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, Baltimore. Baltimore has been the only legit team to stay there.
Yeah, they really have, Coach. And, I mean, I believe in the O's, and I have all season. And truthfully, I mean, they have the best record in the American League right now. And it makes me happy. I mean, I grew up loving Cal Ripken. I love the Orioles organization. What always I was always wondering over this last decade where you just saw some woeful, I mean, woeful Baltimore teams. Were they going to get it right through the draft and through development? Well, guess what? They're doing it right now. You're seeing it. Adley Rutschman and crew getting it done. They got a 3-game lead over Tampa Bay, who really, really held serve throughout the entire season right now. And I mean, in literally the most, I'd say talented division in baseball right now. But I mean, the O's believe in them right now. They're going to win that division.
All right, but now let's talk about trades. I mean, we had Flaherty coming into the O's. You got Savali coming into Tampa Bay. What was the biggest trade that stood out in the AL East for you? I mean, Savali and Flaherty getting some arms for the A's and the Rays for the O's and the Rays is pretty impressive.
No, it really was. Kurt Savali, yeah, I mean, he's definitely a good add right there. Also, for the Rays, getting him from the Guardians. Jack Flaherty, who's had injury issues but is an unbelievably talented pitcher with the St. Louis Cardinals, he comes over there to help him for the stretch run. He trades the Dirty Birds of St. Louis for the beautiful Orange Birdos, Viva Los Birdos, as they used to say, for Baltimore. So, yeah, I think these are really going to be factors down the stretch. Now, Tampa Bay is going to have a little bit of issues right now with Wander Franco being out. With some legal issues right now,
that's
not a good place to be for the Rays.
Yes, not a good place to be. So right now the Orioles.
No, say no more than that.
I'm not saying anything else. So the Orioles are hanging in there with the Devil Rays, and then the Blue Jays are hanging in there. So it's going to be pretty impressive. I think though, Kyle, you're going to get 3 playoff teams from this division.
Oh, yeah, and I feel like we talked about that over the last month and a half right now. The team with, I wouldn't say the most competitive division, because when I say that, I mean the division that's up for grabs. What I'm saying is you're going to have a Toronto team that is really talented right now. They right now are in the tie for the 3rd wild card spot as we speak right now. And Tampa Bay, they're 3 games out of the division, but they have a 4.5 game lead on that 1st wild card spot.
All right. So we're going to see if the Baltimore Orioles can hold on, and we'll find out in a couple of months here. So, well, not 2 months. All right. So let's go to the AL Central, which is one of the weakest, but the Twins, the Twinkies are back in first place. And I just think the Cleveland Guardians are just packing it in. I think they're just selling people off. Like we just said, Aaron Savali, one of their best pitchers, going to the Tampa Bay Rays. Minnesota didn't make any big moves. So how do you feel in that division? I mean, Minnesota's up 4 games over the Indians. I'm sorry.
I don't think there's really – I don't think there's a – I gotcha, Coach. And, yeah, in all first air of the game for me, Aaron Savali, I said Kurt Savali. He reminded me of the catcher that used to play for the Cincinnati Reds. I'll take the E on that one. But this division, I never rule out any team that's ever managed by Terry Francona, but the only team that I think has the depth to actually go all the way is the Minnesota Twins. I don't see anybody else challenging for them. Right now you have, other than the Guardians right now, 4.5 games back, Detroit, the Chicago White Sox are a shambles, and you knew what Kansas City was going to be back in April. I think that's a fait accompli right there.
Okay. So we'll see if the Twinkies can hang on over the Guardians. All right, let's go out into the AL West. I mean, I got to say it. The Houston Astros, they went and got, Mr. Verlander. I mean, that's got to be the best acquisition in that division, AL West. They're 3.5 over, they're 3.5 games behind Texas. But I think what they did was they improved a lot. They possibly could catch the Rangers, and the Rangers are like the Orioles. I didn't expect the Rangers to be in first place as long as they have. They're 8-2 over their last 10 games. I mean, what do the Rangers have? I mean, who's standing out for the Rangers?
Well, right now, I mean, they got talent up and down that lineup, and they went out and they made going in for the kill. They're only 3.5 games up over the Houston Astros right now. Of course, you mentioned that Houston brought back World Series champion Justin Verlander, but Texas went out and made one of the Schroeder signings, and of course, a big seller in the New York Mets. They acquire Max Scherzer, Big Max, Mad Max, And they go out with the St. Louis Cardinals, also sellers, and pick up Jordan Montgomery. That might be a diamond in the rough right there. They're clearly thinking their offense is where it needs to be right now, and they can overcome the Astros, but they're going to need some pitching help down the stretch.
So you think those two acquisitions, Scherzer and Montgomery, is going to help them hold on?
I really think so with the talent they have up through the lineup. I mean, you know, Marcus Semien, he's been terrific all year. I mean, Josh Young, that's an unbelievably talented ball club that I didn't see coming either. But I really think, yeah, it's going to come down. It's really going to come down to the last 3 weeks of the season when it comes to dealing with the Rangers and Houston. The Western Division is definitely going through Texas.
All right. Well, we're going to stay out there on the West Coast, and we're going to go out and talk about, you know, the Dodgers are, well, 9.5 games over San Francisco. Arizona just, they don't have a snake bite anymore. So Arizona just did a nosedive. Someone cut the head off out of the rattlesnake. So, Dodgers didn't really go out and get anybody either, right?
No, they really didn't. They made a couple of small acquisitions. They went out and got Lance Lynn from the Chicago White Sox, who were in full sell mode. And really, they didn't have to do that much. That's a nasty lineup with Mookie and company. They got a 9-game lead. They're sitting on a 9-game win streak, and they've been 9-1 out of their last 10. What else would they need to do? I mean, I don't see anything there, but San Francisco really surprised me. They got a 1.5-game lead in the wild card race right now. They're a talented team at 64-56 right now. But, yeah, I mean, this is another division. I feel like there's been a lot of divisions this year, Coach. We felt like they were kind of done in July. This is another one of them.
It probably is. At 9.5 games up, I think it is. And who is Ryan Yarbrough? I know the Dodgers went out and got him. He's a starting pitcher. Any kind of is this just an insurance move by the Dodgers for pitching?
Yeah, you just want depth at this point. I mean, they have the ability to go out there and add a little bit of depth right there. I like that move. I think it will help them down the stretch, especially when you get to the point where, hey, I got to give my guys a rest. You may get a spot start. You may see a bullpen day out of him. I mean, there's a lot of things you can do with a Ryan Yarbrough.
All right. So the Dodgers, we could probably say that's pretty much a done deal. All right, so then we go into the second weakest division in baseball, but they're all starting making a move. Milwaukee's 65-55. The Cubs are 61-58. Cincinnati is 62-59. The Cardinals are out of it. So, I mean, we got three teams in the race now, which I know makes you very, very happy. I mean, they went out and got the Cubs went out and really got some good players, right?
Made a couple of incremental moves. They went out and added Jamer Candelario, who formerly of the Washington Nationals, that actually came up through the Cubs system, helped in, got a call up during 2016 and got a ring, and then went on. He was a part of a trade in 2017 that sent him to Detroit, brought him back, third base step. That's one thing the Cubs really haven't had all season, is a solid third baseman. It's kind of been a revolving door there. But you're looking at the great surge that the Reds had. Milwaukee's been pretty steady all season. They go out there and they add a little bit of depth. But it's going to come down to this. There's three teams that are going to end up going for it. Pittsburgh ran out of gas. It was a fun story early in the season. And uncharacteristically, the Cardinals have had one of their worst seasons. They may have their first losing season since 1990. Wow. But I really feel like if you're asking me right now, it's going to come down to the Cubs and the Brewers. I know there's a little bit of bias there. I don't think Cincinnati has the depth pitching-wise to stick around, and they might be a little bit too young. I know that's a little cliche to say about right now, but that's a fun race. If you don't have a team you're cheering for if you're not cheering for any one of these teams, I should say, this is a fun race to watch.
I remember when we started talking about this way back when, I don't know if it was show two or three, we said how miserable and how horrible this division was. It's starting out to be a pretty interesting one and not a bad one at all.
It's been fun. I mean, baseball just kind of evens itself out over time, but I did not expect to see a race like this. And Milwaukee's really held serve as, you know, top of the division with a little bit of time with the Reds mixed in there. But I feel like the Cubs are coming right there. This is going to be an incredibly fun month in the Central. That's truly one of the only divisions that's really up for grabs in the National League.
Yeah, it is. Because we go to the NL East now. I mean, the Braves, 77-42, best record in baseball, 12.5 games over the Phillies. Phillies are getting hot, though. Remember, they did this last year, too. Just got to get in the playoffs. You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, that's really true. They actually have the top wild card spot as of right now. They're 10 games over 500. They went out there and added a little piece. And, I mean, hey, they got a no-hitter at a Michael Lorenzen. I mean, he goes out there and tosses one against Detroit after they pick him up from Detroit, excuse me. And, yeah, I mean, with the expanded playoffs right now, there were a lot of teams going. And, I mean, it was really tough for me to track down the teams that were true sellers. I tracked down four. And, of course, I feel like we've mentioned all of them at this point right now. But the Braves are going to win that division comfortably. That's a filthy lineup. The big thing is get your pitching set. And I know we're going to talk about it in the next segment. Get everybody healthy. Ozzie's on the IL. Hope he gets back. Get a good hammy. Get his hammy back where it needs to be and get him back out there.
I mean, it's definitely, you know, I think the Braves are doing – I mean, they're around 500 balls since the All-Star break. You know that.
Yeah, they really were. They started off 12-12, and then they really settled themselves. They're setting themselves up for a sweep tonight. I know we'll cover that a little bit in the next segment right now. But, I mean, Bryce Elder was nasty the other night. I feel like they're doing this. I mean, having Max Fried back is humongous right now. But to stick with this segment, the Braves are the class of this division, and Philadelphia is a really strong team. And the Marlins, sneaky good, making a push for the wild card. There's seven teams up for that last third wild card spot in the National League right now. And that's why I love the expanded playoffs. It's a lot of fun.
All right. Well, we're right on track. 15 minutes. This is a first for us.
Hey, we're doing
usually,
good.
Usually the first inning's like 20-25 innings. But don't forget, you're watching. Sorry, error number two for the coach. You're listening, because it's a podcast. You're listening to the Who's on First Base Baseball Podcast, episode number 8. Season number 7, right? Or say 7. All right. So, or is it 6?
I can't believe
season number 6. Season number 6.
Season number, it still baffles me.
It still baffles that we're trying to do this every summer. You know what I mean? But anyway, we're going right along. And you're listening, of course, to the coach, Carl DeMasi, and the baseball fanatic, Kyle Lawson. We'll come up in between the second inning and the third inning. We'll give you a little seventh inning stretch. We'll tell you what's going on in the Soundgarden because, you know, at coaches, it's all food, all fun, all sports, all music since when?
I believe 1991, Coach.
Were you around yet?
Yeah, I was quite alive. I was 9 years old. Third grade, baby.
And he's quite alive every Wednesday night that we do this show. So, all right. So, inning number 2.
Thank goodness.
Okay, where we live, where we spend most of our time in Georgia, and we root, well, I know it's our second team. We root for the Braves, okay? Even though, I got to be honest with you, I love what the Braves are doing to the Mets and Yankees. I mean, and I'm a New Yorker, but, you know, like I've said it before, all the money in the world can't buy you a Mets World Series again, and all the money on the other side over there in the Bronx, the Yankees need a change, okay? Oh, this is the Braves section. Let me go back to the Braves. Okay, so anyway.
I know your thoughts.
I mean, we got Albie's with a little hammy. What do you think about what's going on there? You know, Fried's back, whatever you want. He fried the Mets the other night, and what's his face?
Fried fried him.
Elder and the two pitchers, Minter and I forgot who the last guy that came in last night. One hitter against the Yankees. I mean, it's starting to gel again. But they started out slow, but now they're coming back to where they're. I mean, just the home runs. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, Olsen is off the chain.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy right now. And I mean, I listen to Mark Bowman, you know, he's the great reporter for the Atlanta Braves, you know, for MLB. I watch his Braves hit pretty much every day. But I mean, right now, that's a scary lineup. I felt that way, you know, when the Braves came to town against the Cubs. I don't know how we took 2 out of 3 from them, but that happened. Bottom line, best team in baseball last night was a dandy. Three pitchers came in to get a one hitter in Atlanta, 5-0 game. Beautiful game. Great start from Bryce Elder. Loved it. Absolutely loved it right now. And, of course, we got a little bit of the bad news of Ozzie Albies on the IL right now. That's retroactive to the 14th. So they're going to keep an eye on him. So Vaughn Grissom back up. And the Braves are definitely benefiting from having Max Fried back. He threw a dandy the other day.
And who's this kid Lopez they got? Where did he come from?
Lopez actually got him a part of the additions that we got at the trade deadline. Infield help from Kansas City. That's Nicky Lopez. He's got 13 RBI on the year. He's played 67 games right now. You can pretty much pencil him in at second base or shortstop when you need a little bit of depth. Really, the Braves made incremental moves to add depth at the deadline. And I like this pickup. I know he's hitting 210, but I don't look at that. He's got a little bit of speed. Ultimately, they wanted a glove that can help out in the middle infield.
Well, I mean, he's impressed me because every time I watch the game, he's doing something special. So, I mean, it seems like we don't hear about the guys in Oakland. We get the guys from Oakland and they're making a big splash. We get a kid from Kansas City that it's just, you know, you got to really be a baseball bookworm to know about these guys like you do. I mean, I don't know where they come from half the time. So, all right. So we got, you know, a third of the season left. Okay. So, what do you think the Braves are going to do? You think they're just going to be rolling right along here? Anybody going to give them trouble?
Well, I don't really think in that division anybody's going to give them trouble. I mean, ultimately, you got to finish out strong. You got to make sure you stay healthy. That's why you add depth. They really focused on adding pitching depth. I want to get to this. They add former closer from the Colorado Rockies, left-hander Brad Hand. Aloha, Mr. Hand. Spent some time out there. Aloha, Mr. Hand. Aloha, Spicoli. Spent some time with the Padres, closed out some games, had some really good years, adding some depth in the back end of the bullpen to help out guys like Chavez and, of course, Raisel Iglesias. They picked up another righty also from the Rockies in Pierce Johnson.
Right.
Had some major league time. And also Taylor Hearn from the Texas Rangers. He's a lefty. He gives you an option. You can never have too many lefties out of the pen. So what I see out of this right now is health, try to get Ozzie back hopefully by September and keep everybody healthy in the meantime. And for goodness sakes, keep hitting the home runs because, man, we have two players that are on a historic trajectory and they can do some things we've never seen before.
It's pretty interesting. It really is. All right. So we'll make this quick so we keep right on time here. Good article on, of course, the internets. I read yesterday, or what's today? Today, I think it was Monday. Four players that might be working themselves out of Atlanta for 2024. Now, I want to know if you agree with this.
Really?
They gave us Charlie Morton, Eddie Rosario, Jared Schuster, and Colin McHugh.
Interesting. I'd be amazed that any of them would really want to leave Atlanta. The one that sort of I could see maybe Eddie seeing if maybe he could get a payday elsewhere for the depth that he gives. But, I mean, these are all players that are really good fits in Atlanta. And I'm a little surprised by the names you threw out there.
Well, that's what this article. Go check it out. It's called The House That Hank Built .com. I mean, they really go in depth on what the Braves are doing. And I was kind of shocked with the first two, Charlie Morton, but he's getting up in the years. He's really getting up in the years.
Oh yeah. I mean, and Charlie is in his late 30s. I mean, right. I'm amazed he's gone as far as he has.
What's he, 39?
Yeah. 39. It would. Okay. Now that's one that wouldn't shock me if he decides, if the Braves, they feel like his time in Atlanta is done. If he wants to go out and see, maybe he can scratch out two more years. Cause keep in mind, he had some injuries early in his career, so he doesn't have nearly the amount of innings you would think he has on his arm. He got hurt really early in his career. So he's probably thinking, maybe I can go somewhere else, might not have as much, you know, success or with another team, but maybe I can go out there and get one last payday as well.
All right. Now, here's one that we thought at the beginning of the year, well, of course, the Braves fans were all over Marcell Ozuna, but he is coming on strong. He's impressed me so far in the second half of the season. And you can't write him off, and you can't say he might not be in here in 2024. I think he's done a great job.
No, he's done a really good job. I'd be he's a guy that I could see, you know, if he's a free agent at the end of the year, would try to go out and see if he can get another team to take a chance on him. He's got a lot of issues off the field, but ultimately he has played really good baseball this year. So, I mean, it really depends. I think the Braves are still a little surprised at really what he's given them the entire season. I'm a little surprised by it.
Well, I know at the beginning of the season, everybody was – they wanted to chop his head off. But he's starting now to get in the swing of things. What did I find out? He's got 24 home runs, 60 RBIs. His average has gone from 197 back in April to 245. That's pretty impressive.
It's very impressive. Yeah, we know the guy can hit. He's always been able to hit. I mean, you know, going back, you know, to his previous days. But, yeah, he's had an unbelievable season thus far. I mean, and a team that just continues to rake. Real quick, how impressive has Michael Harris II been? He's finally healthy. He's finally out there doing the job, and he's healthy. That was the biggest thing for me. I knew he wasn't playing at 100%, and he's out there doing it now, contributing in an already incredibly difficult lineup.
Well, you know, the Braves are smart. They signed all these young guys to, a little longer contract. So we're going to see these guys 3 or 4 years down the road, and they're only going to get
easily
better. So they're only going to get better. So great moves by the Braves front office. So anything else you got about the Braves that you want to go and talk about?
Well, I'll say this. Ronald Acuna right now looks like a 40-40 player. And the crazy thing is he's on pace for doing something nobody's ever done. Having over 30 home runs and 70 stolen bases, he's got 55 right now. I can dream, but he's got the time. Mark Bowman did make that comment on MLB.com. And also, as of right now, Matt Olson is on pace for 60 home runs.
I mean,
it's just fun.
It's just crazy. You think, I know we're going to go off the topic here, but, you know, he's going shot for shot with Shohei Ohtani. So you think, they're going to stay together, or you think Ohtani's going to break the American League record and hit 65 to 70?
Hard to say right now. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, you're seeing a unicorn of a player. I mean, something we've never seen in our entire lives. And, you can't rule it out.
All right, here we go. Where is this term, the unicorn, coming from? We have the GOAT, the greatest of all time. If you ask me, there's no such thing as the GOAT. Every era has a different has different characteristics, and you can't compare from 1940 to 2020. I mean, there's different characteristics. Okay, so what is a unicorn? I mean, it's a magical horse. I mean, yeah, he's magical.
Okay.
And he's like Babe Ruth. So I could say he's the next coming of another Bambino.
It's something you've never seen. I think that's more what they're trying to say. I think that's what pretty much every sports channel and social media outlet has come out to say. It's something you've never seen before. He's actually pitching entire seasons, and he will continue to do it. The Bambino decided, you know what? I'm going to go play right field and hit a heck of a lot of home runs. He did that.
A lot of hot dogs.
Yeah, well, so do I, but I couldn't hit. So,
I mean, we've seen it in, of course, you're right. Okay, that's okay. We've never seen a unicorn, so this might be – that's where it comes from. I can understand that.
That's the only rationale for that. That's what I'm saying. Something you've never seen, and we're just – thank goodness we're all alive to see it because I love it.
Well, I learned something new tonight, so now I know what the unicorn is. Okay. The OG, the old dog, can learn new tricks every day. So, okay, so that's
– it happens.
Inning number two in the books, the Braves chop, and that means it's time to find out what's in the sound garden there, Mr. Kyle Lawson. So here we go. Well, Saturday night we had the Savannah Bulldog Club. I heard there was over 150 people there. Friday night,
we got
Irritating Julie. I gotta find out what genre of music that is. Okay, and then John Henderson told me on Saturday, August 26th, the All My Rowdy Friends, the nation's ultimate Hank Jr. tribute band. I mean, he says that's one of the best he's ever seen.
But Monday Night Football, baby.
Okay, and then we got September 9th, we got the Yacht Club. Let's get there.
They're back again.
They're back again. And then on September 22nd, I'm pretty excited about this one. I might show up if there's not a, you know, if there's no outrageous high school football game. I might go check out the Pandora's Box, the Ultimate Aerosmith tribute band, because I like Aerosmith.
Oh, me too. Dream on, baby. I mean, geez. And Pandora's Box, they're a really talented Aerosmith tribute band. Yeah, that's definitely worth your time.
I mean, it's if it's music, if it's baseball and food, this guy knows what he's talking about. So we'll give him some credit. All right.
That's pretty much it.
You're listening to the Who's on First Base Baseball podcast with the coach, Carl DeMasi, and of course, Kyle Lawson, because it's all part of what, Kyle?
The Coach's Corner Sports Network.
There we go. Okay. Inning number three. We check in on the local guys. We have two local guys, one from South Effingham, one from Benedictine Middle School, you know, trying to make it back to the show. One took a trip across, what do they call the Pacific Ocean? We know we call the Atlantic the pond. Is there a nickname for the Pacific Ocean?
I'm just going to say he went to Japan, and our good friend JB Wendelken is continuing to do really well. He's a late innings reliever, and he continues to put up fantastic numbers for the Yokohama Bay Stars of the Nippon Professional Baseball League.
Now, how long does that league last? You said it's probably the second best professional baseball league. I mean, I know they're over 100 games in.
Yeah, they really are. And I mean, honestly, I'm going to have to go back and take a look. I don't know if they play a 162 schedule or a 140 schedule. So don't quote me on that.
Okay.
But we're in the thick of it right now. So JB, formerly of the Oakland Athletics and the Arizona Diamondbacks, he's 1-2 right now, still a sterling 1.41 ERA in 39 games, 38.1 innings pitched. He's got a save mixed in there, 35 Ks. He is a late inning stopper, and he's really found a home in Japan. And I mean, he's really making a strong case to maybe continue his journey in Major League Baseball next season. He's having an absolutely terrific year. Don't be surprised if he gets a minor league offer to come back to the States and try to make a team for Major League Baseball in 2024. Having a great year. Good job, JB.
What's pretty impressive, he's faced 159 batters and has only given up one tater.
Yeah, that's it. One home run. I'm so glad you brought that up right now. He's been getting strikeouts. He gets a lot of ground balls. And he's healthy. That's the biggest thing. He's healthy, and he's doing the job for the Bay Stars.
All right, let's go to the only guy in American baseball, and he's playing in the minor leagues. We got to talk about Al Presto, Pesto out of Benedictine Military School, 2016.
That's right.
Started at Duke, wound up playing in Southeastern University in Florida, drafted by or picked up by the Blue Jays way back there in June. What do you got on this young man?
Well, I know he started off in the Complex League, and I believe he is he's actually with an affiliate at this point. And do you have any numbers on him?
He's in the high class A for the
Blue
Jays. He's far away from home. He's playing for the Vancouver Canadiens.
Wow. There's a name I haven't heard in a long time right now.
Yeah, well, he started out, like you said, in the Florida League with the Dunedin Blue Jays, went to the New Hampshire Fisher Cats, so which I think was AA or was that AAA? AA?
That's AA Eastern League. And so he's already up with the Canadiens, who are the AAA International League affiliate for the Toronto Blue Jays.
They say they consider that a class high A league. From what I was reading, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's what I think actually you're right. Error number two for me. Buffalo, I believe, is the AAA affiliate for the Blue Jays right now. That may be the Northwest League, actually.
All right.
Which would make a lot more sense.
Okay, he's played in 11 games so far through his minor league baseball. He's 3-0. Has an ERA of 6.50 because the last two games, the last game out, he gave up three earned runs in less than an inning. But his WHIP is a 1.50. He has 21 strikeouts. I know when I watched him in high school, the kid was nasty. The kid could throw the rock. So he's got.
Oh yeah, in BC.
Yeah, he's got the potential. Like I said, the last time out was August 12th against I don't know who TRI. I guess TRI. That's
That's Tri-Cities.
Tri-Cities. He pitched
less. It's in the state of Washington. I don't know why I know that, but I do.
Because you're the baseball fanatic. I mean,
I got too much time on my hands.
He only pitched one third of an inning, gave up four hits, three runs, three were earned. So that's why his ERA was skyrocketing right there. So, I mean, a week
one
before,
batter.
10 days before he pitched against Binghamton when he was pitching at New Hampshire. So did a good job, two innings. How many strikeouts did he have against Binghamton? That's a great name, the Rumble Ponies. Gotta love
The Rumble Ponies, the longtime Binghamton Mets. There you go.
Yeah, he had two
playing the likes of the Hartford Yard Goats.
So hopefully he gets his act together. We might see him in the big league somewhere.
Yeah, certainly would like it. That's a big part of this segment is local boys made good. And a lot of them made it to the show over the years. Of course, alumni being, Josh Reddick, amongst others. But keep it up, Al. Keep it up. Get out there and do it for the Blue Jays. We'd love to see it.
All right, before we go to the Bananas, who would have been the defending Coastal Plain League, I got to talk about a young man that I watched grow up. He was a water boy for me over at Groves High School. I got to talk about a young man out of South Effingham High School known as KC Brown. He took over the Lexington Blowfish, 26-year-old kid, played his baseball at, South Georgia College, then went up to Milledgeville and played at Georgia College and State, and now – he's an assistant coach there, but the Lexington Blowfish, he took over the program, and what does he do? He goes out and wins the Coastal Plain League. Let's keep it in the Savannah area. The Pettit Cup belongs right here in the Savannah area.
Yeah, it's only right. He's done a heck of a job. You actually posted a really great picture of him, and he's getting a chance to coach in, College Summer League, really wants to take that route, wants to be a baseball lifer, and he goes out there and wins a really prestigious College Summer League title. So, yeah, hats off to you, buddy.
I mean, great award. Okay, so let's talk about the team that is the two-time defending Coastal Plain League champion, but no more because now they got their shtick on the road in Banana Land.
Banana Land.
It's Banana Land. They have 72 games in the books. The Bananas, with challenges and playing the party animals, are 39-28-2. So I know I do my math. I'm missing three games. I don't know where, but that's what I got. Against the party animals, they're 30-26-2. So that's 58 games. In challenges, they're 14-3. So, I don't know. My math's off a little bit. I'm trying to keep up because, you look at this, you try to look at their schedule, their calendar.
They're all over the place.
It's all over the place. So,
Barnstorming all over the country. Crazy.
Yeah, quickly. We got to get out of here because we're running a little over now. Okay, so they just finished up in, they went to Trenton on Wednesday, Trenton, New Jersey. They took on the Trenton Thunder. Then they went to Staten Island. They played the Ferry Hawks on Friday. They played the Animals on Saturday. Monday, they went to Hartford. And now tonight, they're up in Brockton, Mass, playing in Brockton, Mass. And on Friday and Saturday, they go up to Portland, Maine.
That's right. They do. They're doing their big northeastern swing. They're heading up there. I mean, it's been a little bit of everything this month. They've officially gone coast to coast. It's been great. A lot of appearances from former major league players, especially out in California. But at the end of the month, after they finish their northeastern swing, they're going to come back and they're going to take on the party animals to finish out the month right here at Grayson Stadium on August 30th. So busy month for the Bananas. They've officially gone coast to coast, and it's been great.
And then they hit Milwaukee, Syracuse, and Cooperstown. What a way to end this tour where baseball all began.
Beautiful.
Cooperstown, New York.
So to speak, where it came from, but that's a different show, and I love it. Continue.
Where did we come from? I don't know. Where did baseball come from? Nobody knows that either, so we're not going to get into that, okay? That's another, like you said.
That's another 45 minutes, buddy boy.
All you got to do is get a tree, get a limb, get a stick, get a little rock, and we're playing baseball. Okay. All right.
There you go.
Inning number three in the books. Don't forget, it's the coach, Carl Demosthen, of course, the baseball fanatic. Hopefully every Wednesday night, this will air Wednesday night. It'll be posted Wednesday night. We'll continue throughout the season. Now we got to get our life back on track here. So, it's been a lot of fun, and you're watching. That is error number three. You're listening to the Carl Demosthen. There's inning error number four.
Get him out of the dugout, man.
Yeah, okay. Just like you got to go to Fast Times at, what is it? You just did your little Spinoli.
Fast Times at Ridgemont High. I'm wasting time. There you go.
Okay. All right. So you're listening to the Who's on First Base Baseball Podcast with the coach, Carl DeMasi, and of course, Kyle Lawson. Inning number four. Here's the end. Trivia time. The coach is one game behind the Baseball Fanatic. This has never happened. The first three seasons, I didn't win a game. I didn't win. But then again, we were going for like five questions. It was taking forever. So, okay, big guy. I don't know who started off. Heads or tails? You want heads or tails? We'll see who goes first.
Heads.
It's heads. What do you want? Home team or visitor?
I'll be the home team. Light
All
it
right. up. Up first, the coach. One game behind the Baseball Fanatic. Let's go.
Okay. Shoot. Now, okay. So Braves are playing the Yankees.
Hey,
tonight.
Buddy, you gotta make chicken. You gotta make the chicken. I already got my chicken done, so go.
All right, there you go. All right. So the Yankees and the Braves are finishing it out. Braves are going for a sweep. The Braves have played the Yankees in the World Series several times, other than their streak during the 90s. Name the first time they faced each other in the World Series. Now, keep in mind, it doesn't have to be in Atlanta.
No, it doesn't. I mean, you got Milwaukee or you got Boston. I'll go Milwaukee, 1957.
Got it. Bing. Ding. There you go. All right. There you go, coach. All right. I got a bad feeling about tonight, but go for it.
All right. We're talking about the trade deadline, okay? We're talking about trades. All right. Now, this is current. It's not back in the dead ball era, okay? Who is the most recent player to get traded during a season and hit 20 home runs for both of the teams that they played that season with? It's current.
Oh, man. Oh, it's current.
It's from 2000 to now.
Oh, wow. Oh. I got nothing, coach. I can't even. Oh, man alive. Oh, that is going to tick me right off.
Okay. He just got inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Fred McGriff.
I got the wrong
person. No, Scott Rowland. Scott Rowland.
No,
okay.
I got the wrong person. Is David Justice in the Hall of Fame yet?
No, he's not in there, but okay. All right. You got me. That was right. I remember that season.
The year is 2000, June 29th, 2000. Justice was traded with 21 home runs from the Cleveland Indians to the Yankees.
And yes.
Then he went on and hit 20 more home runs for the Bronx Bombers.
Okay, there you go. All right, I'm down one. So, man, I got to come up with something big right here.
Do you know who the Yankees gave up for David Justice?
I'd like to know.
Zach Day, Ricky LeDay, and Jake Westbrook.
Okay, all right.
I know Ricky LeDay. I don't know about the other two guys.
Jake Westbrook ended up having a good time with Cleveland. I know that. Okay. All right, next question. All right, this is for the win, coach. You got a shot at this. All right. Matt Olson is currently crushing 42. Who holds the Atlanta Braves record for most home runs in a season by a first baseman? You don't need the number. You don't need the year. Tell me the player.
My old age, my OG is telling me Eddie Matthews, but he was a third baseman. I'll go Fred McGriff, the crime dog.
Wow. It's Hank Aaron in 1971. Big Hank with one last burst of power hit 47 that year. Oh my gosh. Okay.
I didn't realize that he played first base.
He did. He actually played enough to qualify as a first baseman that season.
Well, you got to get this or I get the win.
Fine.
Here we go. Bottom of the second.
You can taste it. You can
taste it. The pressure's on. Okay, once again, another trade deadline. Who is the most recent player to get traded during season and have 20 saves for both teams that he played that season with?
Oh. Oh, my gosh.
I know you're going to kill yourself when I tell you this.
I'm dying here.
Happened in 1998, so You were how old in 1991? You were 9, so this would make you 18 years of age almost. You should know this.
Yeah. Rod Beck.
I only knew him because I hated this team because, you know, they moved from Brooklyn and they went out to L.A., the Dodgers. Okay, Jeff Shaw.
I never would have got that.
He had 23 saves for the Reds, okay, and then went to the Dodgers for Paul Konerko and came up with another 25 saves, 48. He finished that year third in saves in the NL. Didn't tie ball game. It's like kissing your sister.
4-4.
It's like kissing my sister, but I'm going to take the win, buddy. I'm going to take it. Wilmington Island, I think that's 3 weeks in a row, buddy. I think that flag stays
yeah.
up here. That blue W.
You
thing.
Have been snuffing me out, Coach, and you honestly, you earned this one. Yeah, I really thought. Yeah, I really. Okay, you got me. You honestly got me. Hands up. You got me. You win. We're tied. And, man, we're going down the stretch. Anybody can win this.
All right, but I had a great bonus question for you because I know you're a baseball fanatic. Every Major League Baseball is rubbed in a rubbing mud. What is that rubbing mud called, and where does it come from?
Well, it actually started with there was a pitcher named Lena Blackburn, and it was called Lena Blackburn's Mud. And that goes back, I mean, I'm talking – to the aughts. I actually have his baseball card when he played for the Providence Grays in the International League.
Okay, so
I don't know why.
Mud. You know, I mean, that's what I mean. You know, I would never come up with this. I know they rub mud on it. I know I didn't know what the name was, but what state is it from?
Rhode Island.
Hey, you're not far off. Jersey,
Massachusetts, Jersey.
Dirty Jersey mud they used to rub baseballs.
Well, they probably still do. You've been there.
So one last time, don't forget. Let me make sure I add this in there. Friday night, we got Irritating Julie at Coach's Corner. Starts at 7 o'clock. Go to Eventbrite. Get your tickets. The following Saturday night, we got the nation's ultimate Hank Jr. tribute band, All My Rowdy Friends. And from when John Henderson says it's good, okay? And then when we come back in September, we got the Yacht Club on the 9th, and we got the ultimate Aerosmith tribute band, Pandora's Box. So go get your tickets at eventbrite.com. Go out there, support the coach, support John Henderson, support Coach's Corner because they support us. Anything else, buddy?
No, that's all good. I'm just happy we're back at it, and we're looking forward to bringing you a bunch of great episodes down this pennant race stretch.
All right, and like we say every week, please say a prayer for all this craziness that's going on in the world. We got now Hawaii. We got the Ukraine. We got all this crazy wild, wild west gun violence going on. But you know what? That's why we do this. Hopefully for the 47 minutes tonight, we took your mind off of that stuff and you enjoyed the Who's on First Base Baseball podcast with the coach, Carl DeMasi and Kyle Lawson. And it's all part of what?
The Coach's Corner Sports Network.
And if you're doing anything today or tomorrow and you can stand the heat, what are you going
to
do?
Oh, try to hit it out of the park.
Without passing out. And, of course, until we talk to you next week, may it be
your best week ever. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. Hey, go Cubbies. I'm rooting for them.
Go Cubbies. We got to do this right now. I got to go watch some ball, Coach, and make some chicken. You have a great night.
I'm going to finish my chicken fingers and watch the Yankees lose again. Talk to you later.
See you, Coach. Goodbye.